Hey, and welcome to episode 125 of the Crippled System Podcast. My name is Andy.
My name is Brian.
I'm Ethan.
My name is Brian as well. Brian's in the house. Represent.
Brian as well?
As well, yeah. As because well. Because that's, I am as well.
All right.
Just, boom.
Because, I mean, I don't know. I just don't want people to get confused by two Brians being said at the same
they
time.
They would never get confused.
Are you sure? I feel like you and I are very similar in a lot of our looks and
you guys do wear. You guys wear glasses.
We do. We wear glasses. We're both wearing
black shirts.
Black shirts
we,
that are
we play.
That
are we, representative we own Cricks. Of,
yeah, we're both. And our names are Brian. I didn't wear my khaki shorts today, though. I went a little outside of the box.
Outside of the box, motherfucker!
You stop playing your Candy Crush?
I'm trying to find something for my recommendation later. I just forgot the name of something. Oh my god.
You're supposed to let us vamp for time during the recommendation section as you...
I was preparing myself ahead of time.
You're supposed to do this before the podcast.
I found it. We're fine. No one panic. All right. Everything's good.
I was worried there for a minute. I thought we were crashing a little bit.
Yes. Well, we're always crashing. It's a constant downward spiral.
It's a controlled crash. We're trying to land in the pillow factory.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So.
Announcements! You know what I realized yesterday? Next weekend is the next six-pack event.
Yes.
Right. I had no idea it was coming up so soon. And considering I'm running it, I'm glad I figured it out.
Are you saying this weekend coming up or next weekend?
I don't even know anymore. 6 days from today.
The 22nd.
The 22nd. Well, I was supposed to go to an event on the first Saturday of the month, not Gen Con, but the second Saturday, which was like the 6th or 8th or whatever it was. And the guy got a hold of me. I was talking to the guy like the Friday before. I'm like, yeah, so welcome to your event, you know. In a few weeks, it gets tomorrow. I'm like, no, it's like the second week in August. It's like 4 weeks from now. I just, for some reason, like when August hit, I didn't know it was August for a while. And I just like missed something on the... Because by the time I realized what his thing was, it was like the next day and I had already made alternate plans because I have no sense of time whatsoever. Yeah. It's been rough. But yeah, no, next Saturday, it's just a 50-point lists, Misty Mountain, dice roll at 10, sign up at 9:30.
It'd be really wonderful if you allowed people to play with their Glacier Kings.
It would be wonderful, but it won't happen.
Oh, man. What if I, like, hamstrung myself and played with Gunbjorn?
doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
I have some people begging for them to be able to play Denny 3.
Go with I'm good with that deal. I won't play my Glacier King. It's
so good. I feel like if you let them play the Glacier King, Denny 3 is just fine.
I'm not even sure when the Glacier King's actual release date is. It's got to be.
Yeah, it was a pre-production release, so I think it's November is when it might. There is a possibility, because I think that's what Wayland Games was. I guess that's an announcement, too, is that Wayland Games put out their, made public the distributors list that they have for Privateer Press. So, and on that, we got to see the picture of Doomy 3, who his scrolls are not missing completely. They're just on a very herniated pygmy. And then they also have on there, there's a pig bushwhacker officer in UA, or a UA with an officer and a mortar, it seems like. It's a little weird. And then what else did they have? They put out the picture of the studio-painted Glacier King, so that's on there November. I think it's on November is when all that stuff's going to drop. So. Nice.
And then in November of 2000, never will be the Crick's Shieldguard Jack.
Yeah, the Inflictor and the Grolar to be seen.
We'll be on Mark 18, and those models can come rolling off. Just had another problem production, just a little bit more delay.
They're like something to look forward to.
They're like our Moby Dick. Like,
yeah,
it's, you just don't know if it exists or not.
I mean, it's not that every Crick's player, they saw that Jack and they passed out.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Mort Nebber loves it. Denny 3 is going to love it.
A lot of people like it. I mean, it's... Yeah.
Yeah, but it seems like that's the way that Privateer keeps people coming back is when they release models like the Desters or the Bombardiers on a timely basis.
Yeah.
It always draws, you know, it gets people talking about the product. For like years.
Well, yeah, that's
before they actually see them.
I think there's somebody writing a suicide note out there somewhere that says, I just couldn't wait any longer for my Reliant, not like any Signar players, like waiting in anticipation for that thing. But
yeah, I mean, yeah, I think what is that Crick's Jack called?
The Inflictor.
Yeah. I mean, that thing is really awesome. As compared to like Bombardiers or Desters.
I mean, we've had a whole new War Machine book come out, and we've had a Hordes book come out, and we have the next Hordes book coming since that book came out. It's like there's a delay once in a while, but now it's just stupid.
Well, and these are going to be their second plastic kits, like plastic injection mold plastic.
Yep.
So that, I'm sure there's some production issues with that, but the TP seemed to come out just fine and dandy. I don't know how long they squatted on that one for, but
they are getting better quality plastics. I mean, the Zoll kit looked really good. The Denny 3 people were really happy with. I mean, they're doing wonderful work, and you make obviously you can make a different mold because maybe someone made the inflictor and there's a prunos or some kind of problem, so it got pushed back, and then this happened, got pushed back. But it's just like, it's happening more and more often. It's not like one model every so often now. It's multiple models that are taking this long. It's a little frustrating.
I think it's for these really specifically the Jacks of Renown. I don't think there's really anything else from those books that
they're the last items.
Yeah, they're the
last of it. But I mean, from what I understand is they probably got sent off to China. China sent them back piss poor quality molds. Yeah,
but how many times for this long of a delay?
Yeah, it's true.
It seems like they've forgotten about it.
Yeah.
No, well they've been really working on at least the Signar ones. I mean, seen those being made.
I think was it Schick that had the picture of the sprue and then put it together and painted it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I think that I saw that one, and maybe I know the molds for those things are thousands of dollars, but. I don't know. I wonder if that's maybe a hold up. Yeah. But
I'm out of Crix anyway, so it's not going to change my day anymore. They took too long. I'm out. I'm out.
I'm just like, oh, Shield Guards with Mort and Ebra. This is going to be so good in theme. Oh,
yeah, it's good for all sorts of reasons for all sorts of casters.
Yeah. So it'll be neat when that was just the announcement that I had seen, just because when I saw Doomy 3 with the little pig carrier, I was like, oh, this is so amazing.
As somebody did mention on the chat here, too, Death Wolves are strangely missing as well.
I was about to bring those up.
Yeah, because they're never coming. I've never seen even like a design picture of the Death Wolves at all, other than just the art that's in the book.
When they hit, they'll probably impact the meta as much as Brennos did.
Hopefully they won't have as stumpy legs as the Fellcallers, the Sons of Brag.
Oh yeah,
because those guys took a while to actually show up too, and then when they did show up, they're like,
their
torsos.
Yeah, it looked like they were designed along with the Boom Howlers, where they're all top and no bottom.
Boom Howlers at least have legs.
They do, I guess.
These guys are like regular sized trolls mounted on circus midget legs.
They skipped leg day for 500 years. It's like
dwarfs. Yeah, they're all like dwarf. Oh my god, what episode? What show did I just watch recently? Yes, the review. Oh my god. Oh.
Guy trying to pretend to be like dwarf, so he's walking around. He wanted to know what it was like to be a little person, so he was like walking around like dwarf. First, he got all supersized items, but that didn't work for him. So then he saw dwarf on golf. He's like, that's just pretty good stuff. That show's the greatest show in the history of the world. That's off topic.
Yeah, he reviews life.
That sounds very interesting.
Yep.
It's at Comedy Central.
It's a documentary. Also, somebody asked where Nathan is.
Nathan died.
No, he didn't.
Didn't he?
No.
I thought he died.
Nope.
He's not. I'm sorry. I have no idea what happened to Nathan.
Okay.
He's not here.
Did you still need that lie?
Got it. I'm not sure if that will work in a court of law anymore. I mean, this is going out live.
This happened. This podcast is airing on. This is live on from Tuesday, right?
Yes.
This is excellent. Excellent.
Somebody noticed Tuesday at 8 p.m.
Yeah. Well, hey, right there. I understand.
Yeah, it's Ethan.
Yeah.
I mean, Nathan.
Yeah. I understand the problem.
You just have to get angry every 10 minutes and go on a tirade.
Yeah. Just yell at the Jews a lot.
Yeah. What if I am Jewish?
Well, I know. That's makes it funnier.
Well, then you just be like the standard self-hating.
God, I hate myself.
Yeah. You just tell stories of what your family functions are like. That's like stereotypes, so it's funny, right?
I mean, yeah. That makes it okay.
In my mind, that's what Nathan does, but that's just... Whenever he goes off in his rants, when you're friends with Nathan for 10 years, all his rants are the exact same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's always like...
They're very passionate and wordy, though.
Yeah. I mean, he's very articulate.
Yes.
But it's all... At some point, it's white noise. He's just mad.
So his son-in-law is going into the Navy, and going into the Navy tomorrow.
Hmm.
So that's why they're...
He's more of a stepson. A
get-together deal.
Son-in-law?
It'd be stepson. Yeah, son-in-law...
Son-in-law is like when you marry someone and their child becomes your child.
There's a stepson. Right?
That's stepson.
Son-in-law.
Son-in-law is a different marriage. That's like if his...
How's son-in-law...
I've never heard that term before. You broke my brain.
No, anyway. Son-in-law? It was a Pauly Shore movie.
Yeah, it was. That's your... the son. No, son-in-law, isn't that... your daughter is marrying someone and that's how you get the...
Oh, that's son-in-law.
Thank you, Pauly Shore, for being functional for one thing in your entire life.
Pauly Shore has saved us an explanation. Yeah.
Yeah, and Black just mentioned that that's when your kids get married.
Thanks.
So. All right, so his stepson... is going into the Navy.
All right, yeah.
So they're having like a big send off today because he also came over yesterday for a big board game day. He was there for the board game fun.
Yep. Before he goes off to sea.
Well, I mean, boot camp will be a while. You know, he has to go get yelled at.
It's only like 4 weeks. Yeah. Of fun. It's fun boot camp.
Yeah,
I've been there.
Well, the Navy they just threw you in the water for 4 weeks and see if you're still there at the end of it. I'm pretty sure that's how the Navy boot camp goes.
Well, and I think.
If you're a witch, you'll float.
Yeah.
So it's fine. If you're not a witch, then well.
Yesterday, I did skip out on the Waukesha event. Unfortunately,
loser.
Most of my car bailed on me.
You said so. Who was all supposed to go with you?
Well, at first it was Andy started out, and he was like, "Oh, I want to come with you." So then after that, one of our locals, a Scorn player, Mark, wanted to come with. And I was like, okay, well, 3 is a decent number for my car. Sometimes I just don't. Having 4 is weird. So,
yeah, 4.
Four was going to be, the fourth one was going to be Amanda.
Okay.
And then Andy was the first one to pull out.
I realized that Brian's board game day was the same day, and my friend was coming up.
I did schedule the board game day when the event in Waukesha was full. I didn't plan it initially to just be a dick.
Yeah, and of course, for I'm the one who poked. There poked Dan. I think it was Dan that was running it and told him to open it up for more people because I had like a whole carload.
You literally had him open it up.
You had him change it just for you, and you didn't even bother going.
Yeah, I know, it was bad. So then Mark dropped out. Mark was the one who stuck with me. John wanted to come on, and he was like, "Oh, do you have room for that that thing?" Because their spots were full, but I had asked for more because that's just how I'm like, sign me up for 4, and I'm good. So whoever comes with is who comes with. So John was gonna come with, and then at 6:30 the night before decided that he wasn't gonna come with, and then Tyler wanted to come with, but at that point I was just. I was like, I'm not going to deal with this anymore. So I just stayed home and painted a Glacier King instead. And as I was doing so, John was the one who pushed me over the edge. I was like,
damn it, John. Well, to be fair, he said he had spent the day with Casey, which of course he...
The comment that I got from him, or the exact wording was, if I go, something wrathful will happen. So I was like, okay, well, I understand. I mean, you got to do what you got to do. So I was thinking that maybe they were going to go for lunch or dinner or something, or go for a walk or whatever it is skinny people do with their lives. And
yeah, we have no idea.
So
at least Derek Carousel and go, this is fun.
Yeah, I'm just sitting here on Facebook painting my Glacier King, trying to watch my erection. And I see Casey pop up on Facebook with you posted your pictures from the board game day, and there was Casey playing some game that I don't know. And I was like, god damn it, John. Like, my heart felt like there was a big giant dagger going into it, and the shape of it was John. So I'm just like, oh, this is stupid. But I did get to play a game that day at least, so that was something. But
they were only there for a very short bit because Casey had him on a just a roller coaster of events.
Mm-hmm.
They had to get up early and they had to go do a bunch of stuff. They came, they played one game, and she's like, we're out. And then he had to like run a gambit of other like wife things. So like, that was just like one of the events of the day that she let him get, like, that they did together.
Travis said he was disappointed in me.
Well, you know what? Travis is disappointing everybody.
Yeah, he disappoints all the time, I think. Yeah.
The good thing about not knowing true emotion is that you get over it really quickly.
Yeah, exactly. I'm pretty sure he was done with it as soon as I showed him what I was doing. But then I was really, the major thing that I was upset about was that I didn't get to go eat at the rib place that was next door. I was really hoping for that. But Travis did tell me at some point in time they're going to have an event in one of the bars that's in Waukesha. So I will go there and someone will have to drag me out when I'm done, because if their beer is anywhere near decently priced, I will drink myself into a coma while playing War Machine. Because I honestly think I get better the more drunk I get.
Thank God you didn't. Thank God you didn't come to the Who's the Boss. I think it was like the 2 years ago. The
Mary Mayhem ones.
Yeah, the ones at the Mary Mayhem, which were at a VFW. And their drinks there are just stupid cheap.
Well, and the thing is, if I go to a VFW, I'm not getting beer. I'm getting their booze drinks, because those old ladies they put behind the bar, they mix like, oh, I've been alive for 50, or, well, I guess not 50, but more like, I've been alive for 70 years, I've been through three husbands and World War II. Here's this Jack and Coke, and they just flick their finger. They stick their finger in a can of Coke and flick it into a glass of Jack, and that's what you get. So those are the best ones there, and they're like, that'll be $1.50, and I'm like, that's like a fifth of Jack in there. So yeah, those would be very dangerous.
We're gonna see if we can try to make it around this time. Last year we couldn't do it, with the 2 years ago. Well, last year we couldn't do it either, because it was just time-wise to schedule it with Ben.
Oh yes.
For Merry Mayhem.
Well, now that Final Fantasy is just shaking in its little like aftermath of being beaten by a club with GW on it, but that might open up some room. I don't know if that was the big thing for Merry Mayhem. I'd never attended.
Merry Mayhem had, they usually had about 40 some people playing Fantasy, but yeah, who knows how that's going to be even this year.
Well, and then if they do end up playing Age of Sigmar instead, I'll get, with my belligerent self will fit right in, because I'll be screaming obscenities at my opponents. I just won't get rerolls for it.
The best part about it is you could bring your War Machine models. You could play Age of Sigmar.
I could, yeah.
They wouldn't even know the difference.
Oh, man. So that was one of the other... Oh, man, I don't know if I should pound on Travis more. I think I gave him enough already.
Travis needs some love. Travis is a good person.
Just keep giving it to him.
I will. I'll just give it to him so hard. So there was another fun thing about the event, and I've never played against Jordan Nock, but he was there, and I'm sure he'd just wipe the floor with me if we ever got paired up. It sounded like Travis and Jordan had met and clashed and did not go in Travis's favor, because Jordan took the tournament. And it sounded like Travis had tried to legitimize his loss, or try to soften the blow for his ego, by saying that Jordan does go for a 90% win rate, while Travis is more in the 66 range. And I really do think that Travis needs to get back with reality and realize there's a difference between what you aim for and what you actually get.
Travis is currently in the lead for the six-pack. In Travis's defense, he is the... Him and Jordan Bouchois are tied for the lead, but Travis currently is a better... strength of schedule.
Well, all you need to do is throw me up against Travis once, and I'll go for that 5%er and take him off the table in a heartbeat.
Yeah, if that happens to him in round one, the day would be over.
You were there for that one.
I'll put him against John in round one. Oh, Travis yeah, will then, go. Travis go Owen murder on the day. We'll see some emotion.
We go find a baby to kick.
Yeah, it'll be, you know, unfortunately, emotion will be Terminator 2 Travis, which will be bad for everybody in the room.
Have you seen this boy?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, man, then Casey's weekends will get freed up real quick.
Yeah, that's good. I for whatever reason, if John is facing Travis, John's dice are not going to fail him at all.
Nope, sixes John, all the time.
John is 100% dice insanity against Travis.
And he'll use those shitty Q Workshop ones, too.
Yep. That gets it. I mean, I've had certain people that when I play them, I know I'm going to get, I can't beat them, because something's going to happen. Like, when you lose to the same person a few times, your brain just locks up against them. Because you just know at some point you're going to miss a key attack every single time, or, you know, they're not going to miss their key attack every single time. And your brain, you start like fidgeting, and you just like, you know, it just falls apart.
Yeah, for me at tournaments, what usually happens is I'll get into a game and I know exactly how I need to approach it and what I need to do to win. And then I should have drank like 2 or 10 less beers the night before, because I killed the brain cells that were supposed to like make that happen on the table. And then I just like lose it. Like I played against Epic Sorcia once, and they had a conquest, and I dropped an EE into it. I do not lose that game. I take the conquest off the table, and then I play 30 points up the whole game. And I just was like, I'm going to kill some Winter Guard and let that Conquest bitch slap Kalandra in the face. No, I don't need Bullet Dodger. It's okay. Whatever.
No, that's a stupid spell.
No, it's terrible. Who would put that on their caster?
If you miss once, it's not like you can get to safety or anything with that.
Nothing. No, not at all.
Useless spell. It's all blank.
Yeah, completely useless.
Yeah. Worst game ever.
It's as blank as Zal's back Zal 2 spell list.
And here we go.
Hey,
transference.
I thought we were the voice of reason. Podcast.
I was making a joke. That was the joke comment. That was just a joke.
We were actually talking about that on the way down here, or up here, wherever we are in relative location to where I was. But
reality.
Yeah, I guess so.
You want me to drive home?
Maybe.
Do you even know where we are?
No, I don't know. Well, this time I can give you Roadhead on the way back home. So
sweet.
One good turn deserves another. But we were talking a bit about certain social media groups and how they are downplaying a lot of the pre-releases and new stuff like that. Like, the big thing is I am obviously a super huge proponent of the Glacier King. Like, I love that thing so much. But a lot of the other troll players are kind of thinking of it in a really narrow scope and trying to integrate it into things we already use instead of trying to try new things with it. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'll be honest with you. I was trying to trick you in letting me use Gunnbjorn because that's the caster I'd use it with.
What?
So good.
So shocked. Well, it's like the last War Machine book. It gave the factions different things, and people were like, well, that won't work in my current list. I'm like, no, it won't. Mm-hmm. You're right.
Yeah, exactly.
That is the point.
Like, Zerkova 2 dusts off so many models that players just don't use that often.
Yeah, I think when these models are out, I think we will start seeing things. I bet the Hordes book is going to go the same way. It's going to be just different enough. People are going to be like, well, this doesn't work with my current crap, so therefore it's bad.
Yeah,
and we'll see it unleashed.
It's like there's two camps with the Gen Con models. There's the, you either got a Costa or you didn't.
Yeah,
I think that's kind of how they're split right now.
Well, also, a lot of people, you know, if they, I hate to use the phrase a cool kids club, but I mean, let's be honest, when the cool kids club or a couple of very specific popular podcasts come out right away and they say X is bad, people are like, well, X is bad because Bob said X is bad and that guy's a good player, so obviously he can never be wrong and I'm never going to give it a chance and discover anything on my own. Mm-hmm. Moving on.
Swamp Gobber River Raiders.
Yeah. See, I know, I mean, there's all sorts of weird things like that where people are just like, well, you know, there's always a person though that there will be a legitimately bad model out, and there'll always be the guys like, well, I'm going to play that model just because, you know.
Yeah,
there's always that small percentage, but I think we're in the pendulum of people are being more negative than they need to be, and at some point it will be the point where we're too positive we need to be, but we're definitely in the everything is bad stage of the world.
It's either they absolutely hate it or they think it's the greatest thing ever. There's no middle ground.
Yeah, it's like politics now. Everything is just, you know, we can't, it's just seeps in everything. This whole everything is great or terrible, there's no middle ground. It actually hinders my enjoyment of the game a little bit, to be honest.
It does. Some of the other things too are people who grief on those who play, like, I guess like I, this is my just perspective since I play runes and EE so much. The people who grief on the power lists. I will say if I ever play against Kalandra, I'll probably understand it a little bit more.
Well, there's more of the it's not even the power. I think it's there's so much skew people are sick of seeing. And
yeah,
such a huge percentage of the top lists are skew lists right now.
And you can't possibly mash like all the skew lists.
No, you have to like almost take. Well, so our local player Jordan, who is usually really good, he plays Kator and he plays Steamforce. He plays his Doom Reaver spam and he plays his Pikeman spam. Yeah. And those lists drive people insane. Like, you can, I mean, I'd say 30% of Nathan's rants are about those lists. when I can get through the white noise of Nathan's rants. But a lot of people find those lists challenging, and he didn't even do that good at the last six-pack event because it was all theme forces versus all theme forces. So he was even complaining. You know, he was in a world where everyone was playing skew, and his whole lists are designed when people don't have skews, they can't handle his lists. Mm-hmm. So in a world of skew, he actually gets messed up a little bit. But you kind of have to do that to counterbalance that stuff.
Yeah, that is the unfortunate part of that is that the skew is only countered by the skew, really. But that's where I think like the Reckoning book is bringing some new things to the table, where instead of skewing models, you're looking at Denegra just throwing mortalities out. And I think Zarkova is just an amazing model for dealing with the skews, and she brings a different specialist approach. So it's just more of the thinking out of the box thing and trying new stuff.
Yeah, I haven't really dug into the new stuff. My motivation, like, for my Scorn, like, I haven't made Zal'Tu lists, not because I don't think it's bad, but my brain hasn't been, like, in the creative make Scorn lists mode. So it's
then, like, the new book will probably help that creative.
Yeah, part. Well, it's also good to get the whole, yeah, to see the whole picture, but it's just like, I see him, like, okay, that's what he does. I don't hate him, I don't love him, he's just a model that I need. At some point, my brain needs to kick into effect and to start plotting again, but right now it's in a neutral.
Yeah, if you guys had Megalith, it might change your mind a little bit, but right now you don't. The bugs, though, do those bring you any the bugs, happy at all?
People, well, I mean, we knew they were coming for a while. I mean, when those were in the book, that was like a big thing. Mm-hmm. That there was a little bit of a system shock of seeing Speed 3, but yeah, you had to, like, get over. That was like the first day, you're like, Speed 3, burn it all down. It's the worst thing in the world. And you're like, well, actually, let me think about that for a second. And you look at the stats and the numbers and what they do. You're like, okay, I want five of them.
Yeah.
I mean, when I buy them, I am going to buy four. I'm going to have two range, two melee, you know, mm-hmm. so. I just haven't, like I said, because I haven't. But you're gonna see a lot of the bugs. You're gonna see more, I think, double melee bugs than anything for a while.
Yeah, and the ranged one's nice too. Like with poison, that dude can peel heavies like nobody's business. Or heavy war beasts, really, nobody's business.
Scorn desperately wants. Not, I guess they don't want, but the thing Scorn would love so much would be like another caster that buffs range in any kind of way,
mm-hmm.
or control caster. Then Scorn could be just out of control.
Yeah, and I think that was the real system shock with Zal, was not just that his spell list is subpar for what Scorn wants, or that his feat is really, like, meh for Scorn. But the thing is, and I think I've heard this echoed through many podcasts as well, is just it's not what Scorn wanted and didn't need, really. They don't need another caster that does this kind of stuff, because when you look at especially the release or the tease of the Extolar immortal attachment, like, that guy, everybody was like, oh, Zal, it'll do some cool things with Zal 2, but it also does cool things with Zal 1 and Mordekaar. So they just need a different caster who widens their stable a little bit instead of putting them back in that same box.
Yeah, Scorn is kept in their box, and Scorn, and a lot of factions, I mean, every faction has kind of a theme-ish that they go with, but there's always a caster that kind of breaks it up a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Scorn has the least of that. I mean, you could probably find a couple of minor examples in different degrees, but nowhere, but it's very little. It's pretty much the same thing. I mean, half the casters are just Karn bullets in one way or another.
Yeah, I feel like Chromak 2 might have opened up Circle's playbook a little bit, just because, I mean, I'm not the Circle player, but I don't really see them brick up all that much, except for Baldur, I guess.
Well, yeah, Baldur's brick up.
Baldur's in the kind of stone up, Bradagus, you know, as well.
Mm-hmm. Bradagus isn't so much a brick as he is a thrown brick at your face.
It's a brick that's you know, that's like 12 inches wide.
It's a brick you can't shoot.
Yeah, yeah.
Or see. Though I do, like, I love Chromak too. I'm having so much fun with him. He does, like, he's an axe the face caster in Circle. It's so much fun. Like, yeah, the beasts are still really squishy with the feet. I mean, a Stalker's still only armor 19 with the feet. Yeah. So it's like, if it gets a love tap, it dies. But it's just so much fun to play, actually, like, a straightforward caster in Circle, because it really does change it from the hit and run tactic to, like, a brick and where my caster can actually kill a heavy.
But Chromak 1 kind of plays that way, though.
Yeah, but he plays...
He's basically, I'm going to jump from the shadows type play.
Yeah, like the threat ranges of the teleport warpath move, and God, he just murders Banes for days, which makes me happy.
Boom. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Somebody had mentioned multiple times on here, too, about the Bushwalker UA.
Mm-hmm.
Have they even released anything rules-wise for it?
The only thing that they know is the fluff blurb that they post.
Sure.
And the option of note, or the item of note, is the sentence that says this Bushwhacker UA or whatever is whatever it is allows the Bushwhackers to strike from unseen places. So I'm thinking there's one of two things that I can come with, and one of them is they get prowl, and the other one is they get stealth. So those are that's what I can assume.
Or Ambush.
The Ambush was the other one. Yep.
I don't misguess Ambush.
I didn't mean stealth. I meant Ambush. I'm retarded today.
But Prowl would give them stealth.
Yeah. That's the thing is like if it gives them Prowl, they're just really like shoving Gunnbjorn at you from all ends, because like the Glacier King is hands down the best with Gunnbjorn. Like, he loves that thing so much. And then he's giving the scouts Prowl, so that's what I've been doing. I've been like, oh, scouts that are stealth, that they still suck. but then if the Bushwhacker UA gave them Prowl as well to give stealth, I'd just be like, this is crazy and weird. Like, it's all about the you can code name Dominion. Yeah. Devastation, I think, might be the book name. You can just codename it Book Gunnbjorn at that point. But if they get Ambush, that'll be really interesting. I don't know if they need it so much, but it is really cool to just like have an ambushing laser beam, because I don't think there's another unit that quite does that.
Not really, no. I mean, technically Kossites, but I don't think they have a combined range.
No, and they don't come from downtown. Like, Bushwhackers are base 14-inch range, and with snipe, they just... Oh, it's so fun last night. Sniping 18 inches and then moving. It's just like, gotcha.
You couldn't snipe them off field, though.
No, you couldn't. No.
You'd have to somehow try to get an angled shot into them.
Yeah. So that's the only bit of information. I guess they come with, I don't know if they come with a mortar or if we're getting another mortar. I think that the UA comes with a mortar, and that would be really interesting to see all the Bushwhackers combine into a mortar instead. That'd be ridiculous, but I don't know. We'll see what happens. Right now, it's just baseless speculation off that one sentence. You really can't get very far with it, but it is interesting to see that this might be a UA that polishes a turd, so to speak. That was in quotes, because I don't think the Bushwhackers are bad. It's just that a lot of people get outclassed by Burrowers. Because they're the same points and they kind of have the same...
Generally. But the combined range on them is really nice.
Yeah, it is. Even if you're only doing a couple to roast some long gunners or some gun mages off the table, it's super easy stuff. They do a lot of work. And when you start putting them with Gunnbjorn and you're shooting from 18 inches away and you're threatening 22 inches with them, it's pretty decent.
I think we talked about this on the Trollcast as well.
Yeah.
For a while there.
That Trollcast was a little fuzzy.
but yeah, because Digmies, they only really work well with specific casters.
Yeah,
like either something that has mortality or something like that.
Yeah,
makes them really good.
A debuff or a fell collar or a Madrak 2 with Blood Fury. That's what really turn those POW 14s up to 11. Not 11 POW, because that would not be up. That would be down. They're turning them up to 16 average, I think. But yeah, so that's the only bit that I've got from them. But it'll be cool when it comes out. I'm looking forward to it.
Yep. You stop beating up my mic stands.
It's fine. We're good. Okay, we had a disagreement.
It is slightly off center from the top. It is good.
Yeah, it's good enough. So what else happened lately? Oh, we had a board game day yesterday. That was exciting. We played board games. You guys weren't there. Suck it.
Nope. No. I was...
Yes. That's why
I contemplated it for a moment, and then
we could have taken another. That would be great. You gotta take more group pictures and wave it. It could have been everyone waving at Travis in the pan.
Yeah, everybody. Yep, yeah. And then hold up a banner that says "Wish you were here, loser."
We had
and then I could confront John.
You could have confronted John. Like, what the heck? We had four games going at any given time. It was a pretty good day, though.
That explains why John backed out of coming to the podcast tonight, because I texted him about coming to the podcast. He's like, man, I'm sorry, I got to bail.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Brian might tear my head off.
Yeah.
All right.
What, you mean I wasn't the first option?
No.
I thought I was.
No. You're the option D.
You were just option, because I had no idea who was coming.
Oh, we need a fourth person. Who was that circle player that was playing double Wolverath? Let's get that idiot.
Just find somebody. You're the somebody. You filled that role well.
Somebody for
yes,
once.
Yes, you are good. Somebody.
It was going to be difficult because Brian said that he wouldn't come on the podcast if there was going to be only three of us. He didn't want to have a double Brian Andy podcast.
I'm a big fan
again of
three people podcasting. At least I, when there's just three of us here, I get very bored of us very easily. Four of us, I get bored less. I still get bored, but it just takes longer. I was home all day having a relaxing day of video games and cleaning, and I had to leave my house and put on clothes to do this. That's very exhausting.
You know what that's called? Commitment.
I know, it's terrible.
I was scared for a moment there because usually Brian, this Brian,
yeah,
is here at like 5:30 with like food in tow, and Brian, he didn't show up until like two to six.
I ate at Subway. I mean, I ate at Culver's today because I was lazy.
Yeah, I just I thought nobody was going to show up. It was like 6 o'clock, and I'm just sitting here going, where is everyone?
It's like six fifteen is what I always showed up for, but it takes me, I think, since I have to Google Map it every time because I don't pay attention and just let my phone do all the work for me, it's like 36 minutes to get here, so I usually get here about 10 minutes before.
Yeah, it's all good.
But one of the other announcements that I forgot was your War Machine Weekend thing.
Oh, yeah. Yes, we have a couple things for War Machine Weekend.
Yeah.
We have a, that's currently going on right now, a 90-day paint challenge to paint up Linessa...
Linessa Rissell.
Yeah. She's just a really nice model. All you have to do for this paint challenge is take a picture of the model with something that proves the date, maybe even like it, take a picture of it on a computer screen next to the advertisement, and then paint it up using the normal base. Don't use any kind of resin base or anything like that. We want it to be a representative of your work, not somebody else's. You can build your own base if you want. We don't care about that. But yeah, it's the first of its kind that I can think of for War Machine Weekend.
Yeah, the paint challenges are always interesting, and doing the proving it was bare before the challenge is always, it's a little sticky sometimes, but I think you're running a pretty tight ship, and at least I know I'll be able to be fine because I can just show it to you. So suck it, losers.
No, you get a lab team there, and you just have them like analyze the paint and
then analyze how old the paint is.
Yeah, how old the paint is on the model.
Oh yeah.
You can tell that from licking it. Usually,
yeah, you just lick every model.
Yeah, while you're watching it, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Swish it around in your mouth a little
take
bit.
Take everyone's model, put it underwater for 10 minutes, and now you can tell.
To freak out most people, we could have Brian lick it.
That would be interesting, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, and then we have the new painting competition. Unlike last year, which we didn't really announce anything for the categories for War Machine Weekend, this time we did. So there's going to be an overall. There's going to be a single model plus caster, or it's going to be one of those. There is going to be a diorama. There's going to be a large base. There's battle group / jack group. So if you have like a Jack Marshall that you want to put in there, like the Raluk, he likes to have a battle group or a Jack group.
Are you doing a huge base, like your normal huge
there,
base?
There's just normal huge base as well. That's going to be its own category. The 90-day painted challenge, I think I'm forgetting one. I brought up my phone because I thought I was going to look up the categories, but I forgot to.
That is one of the things, after going to Gen Con, I was really considering getting into their painting competition. And the one thing that kind of, it didn't dissuade me so much, but it was just another one of the many things that piled on top of it that stopped me, was the inaccessibility of the categories, because I really couldn't find them anywhere. I just knew, like, oh, if I bring a huge or a large base guy, I'm sure that'll be fine. But I didn't know if there were any, like, you know, side categories like this Linessa Rissell one. I think that one's gotten some pretty decent like advertising behind it. I still think it should be advertised a little more on not just your end, but Privateer Presses as well, other than just the Facebook thing that they had. But
oh, you mean a War Machine Weekend?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's actually on their site now.
Okay, well, that's good.
That's one of the things we try to have on there.
When I first saw Privateer Press post it, and they had said, a Linessa Rissell 90-day painting challenge, I was like, oh my God, I have to tell Andy.
Oh, yeah, I'm the one who started it, yeah.
That would have been hilarious.
Yeah.
Forgot about the newest category that I brought into here.
Life-size model, like if you be able to sculpt an actual 2-scale model of what they want to bring?
No.
All right.
No.
No. I remember somebody doing like a life-size Shredder from way... No, it was a life-size Bone Chicken. Ripper. Yep.
He did the head. He spent months on it. And then he's like, it looked so nice. And then he's like, okay, it took me a long time to do the head. Now, if Private Press pays me, I'll finish it. which is basically what he said. And then he didn't respond to me, so fuck this project.
Nice.
It's a little bit of a summary. Not quite accurate, but it's close enough to what happened.
Yeah, it's a good synopsis.
But it looked really nice. Yeah.
So the last category, this is one of my ideas I brought to this here. It is a sculpting conversion category.
Yeah, yeah.
So it doesn't need to be painted. Obviously, if it is painted, it'll go up in value. But it is going to be the best conversion / sculpt for a privateer press style model.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be. We want it to be set in the Iron Kingdom's world.
Does it follow the new conversion rules then, or is this just kind of open in wherever?
I didn't think about that, but I think it should follow the new conversion rules, which are very lax in general.
Yeah, they're a lot less than what they used to be.
Yeah. I'll make sure I get that updated then to have it match the conversion rules and make sure it's in the privateer world as well.
Yeah.
So when you say in the privateer press world, what do you mean like that? But it has to like look thematic?
Obviously, like things like tank treads and that generally, I guess it's okay with a conversion, but generally tank treads don't exist in the Iron Kingdoms.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I see what you're saying.
I feel like the Siege Battle Engine, I can't remember what the rest of it's called, might break that.
Yeah.
The Dwarf Battle Engine.
Oh.
No, that's got legs.
Oh, I thought it had
treads. It was all legs. If it has treads, then that's fine. But generally, the tanks and armor like that don't exist.
The Iron Kingdom needs more helicopters.
God, the Dwarf Gyrocopter is actually really awesome.
I know. Just saw that thing. When I first saw it, I was like, "Are you serious?"
Yeah.
Like somebody just smoke a bunch of weed and decide to say, "Oh yeah, dwarfs can fly now in gyrocopters that they made."
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. Just don't buy it.
You don't buy it.
I'll buy dwarfs in a barrel going down a river and fighting orcs, but
I actually like that scene quite a bit.
I love the shit out of it.
I thought that scene. I hated, we're off tangent, off topic. The first Lord of the Rings Hobbit movie, the fight in the cave against the orcs, that was awful. But for some, and it was funny, and it was supposed to be funny and goofy and awful.
Yeah.
This was a fight on the river, jumping from barrel to barrel, but yet it was fun and cool.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what was different, I don't know how they did it differently, but it just worked to me.
It wasn't like just a series of happy accidents.
Yeah.
The river one, that one.
I felt like more fighting. I mean, it was still ridiculous, but I still enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Orlando Bloom.
Yeah.
That's why.
No.
I think the third one is on like HBO. I still haven't seen it.
I have yet to. We should pain train it. I don't actually want to watch it.
I don't know. I liked that series a lot. I am in the
Hobbit?
Yeah, I'm in the minority.
You,
but
you like Smaug?
I'm whatever. Benedict Cumberbatch is whatever, but I liked it. It was good. I won't lie. Especially, I can't talk about the third one.
You can talk about it.
Oh, no, I know everything. I had someone explain to me what happened, and he kept saying, and then this happened, and I wanted to kill myself. Nice. And then this happened, and then this happened. And then they just saw it was a dream.
The fight at the end is so amazing because you always, one of the things that you see in the movie that you don't really like get a whole lot of like hands-on with is the berserker, in quotes, part of the dwarf community. Mm-hmm. Because you've got, like, maybe the one guy who, I don't know their names, but he's the bald one with the mustache and has long hair down the sides. He kind of feels like he's the berserker of that group, or the dude who has the axe sticking out of his head, which is weird, but whatever. But then, like, in this last scene, you actually get to see the guy who commands most of these berserker-style, like, face paint mohawk dwarfs, and he rides a fucking ram. And he just like goes full hog on everybody, and it is the most amazing single combatant fight scene I think I've ever seen in any movie, because it really does like the area around him doesn't like zoom out like you would think it would to just showcase his ability to fight. He's just like stomping around and swinging axes and picking up other stuff and hitting him with it, and then like once he actually starts talking to someone that he meets in the middle of the battlefield, he just like randomly headbutts an orc that's running at him. It's so beautiful. It's wonderful. And if you like that, you know, the dwarf aspect of it, and you want to learn, see more of like that berserker combat style, then boom, it's right there. It's like you just, it's an amazing part to the movie.
There's certain things that always help with personalities, like help, and I go further off topic, but I was reading a book series where a character was really good with a spear. And normally when you envision all these people fighting, you're like, okay, he's fighting with a sword or whatever. You see sword fights, but really, when you hear this guy who's a master of the spear, it's like, doesn't seem that exciting, like, visually. I couldn't buy into, like, it's a spear.
Mm-hmm.
But Hellboy 2, the villain, wields a spear, and that has amazing fight scenes in Hellboy 2, and the guy's basically just fighting with a spear. So it really, like, seeing that visually helped inspire some of the things that I was...
And that's reading. The one with the twins, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was... Whenever I think of spear fighting, the only thing I can think of making it look cool is like Kalik from Soul Calibur, and that's a bow staff.
Yeah. All right, I think we've veered from our original point pretty well there.
What were we even talking about?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's the charm of our podcast.
Charm.
Something about modeling.
It is a charm.
Yes.
I'll talk about modeling. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Conversion sculpt.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
So enter some prizes.
Yep.
When does that contest? Do?
War Machine Weekend.
War Machine Weekend.
When is that?
It what is November 14th.
Is that does that overlap with Game Hole Con this year, or does it sidestep it a bit?
It is a week later. So you guys get your tickets, go down to St. Louis. I just finally booked my hotel room because I'm just lazy as fuck this year. And I'm splitting it three ways. And my share is going to be like $135 for the three nights or four nights. So it's so cheap. It's driving down there is a tank of gas. It's 100. If you split it two ways, obviously you're talking a little over 200 or however. But it's still not that expensive.
It's not Gen Con.
No, it is nowhere. No. You will spend a quarter or less what you spend at Gen Con.
DICON is actually arguably more expensive than War Machine Weekend.
Yeah, they're both.
DICON both. In a bigger city?
No, same St. Louis. Place. Same city.
Mm. Well, Brian, also, you going to that?
I might go to War Machine Weekend after seeing the Linissa Rissell thing. That might push me over the edge. Plus, I've never been to St. Louis.
John's trying to go. I know. I thought he bugged you about it already. Maybe he did.
He hasn't bugged me about it, but I know that we were talking about doing Gen Con next year because he and Casey would go.
Yeah.
I'm assuming it's the same for War Machine Weekend. And when you put two couples in a room, it works out really well because you don't have that awkward bed thing. And, you know, and then if you do have a fifth person, it splits it nicely because they can just hit up the couch or something. Then you get
a king-size bed and everyone just snuggles.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You just keep each other warm with your body heat. Be a legit time. But, the big one is I want to get to Game Hole Con pretty badly. I think since Alex, the guy who puts it together, kind of sent me to Gen Con, I figure I might as well show up for it.
That guy's also amazing. And he's going to be on our podcast in 2 weeks?
2 weeks. Two weeks. He'll be here on the 30th.
I mean, in my sense of time, 2 weeks, that's like 6 years. But, you know, 14 days from today.
Yeah.
I think of everything in days. If I think of anything outside of the days, I get lost now. It's my new thing. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, somebody was asking about pictures, too. We'll have a ton of pictures at War Machine Weekend. That's one of the things I want to make sure that we get this time, as in previous years. This is my first year is actually kind of handling that portion of War Machine Weekend. I want to make sure we have pictures of everybody's models.
Yeah.
All professionally-ish taken.
Gotcha.
And they put them up on the site, so everyone could see them.
Yeah, the ones at Gen Con were mostly cell phone cameras with the glare from the case.
Yeah, yeah. They used to have really good pictures of stuff there, too. They have usually had somebody going around with a camera to take a picture of everyone.
Professional photographer that they work with. One of the people there knows him.
Yeah, but they didn't have anybody taking pictures of the miniatures, and I want to make sure that that's changed this year.
Yeah, I think of all the things, and maybe they put this in no quarter, but I can't remember, is maybe 3 or 4 years ago, one of the local Milwaukee painters, his last name is Lentz. I want to say his first name's Sam, but it might be his brother that's Sam, and he has a different one. He did a Mountain King that was just blew the Grandmaster painting thing out of the water, like miles away. This guy's an amazing painter, and I just the pictures aren't accessible easily, and it would be nice to see those because I think they're a great source of inspiration and a good source of understanding what techniques some of these higher level painters are using to establish a really good looking model.
Yep. Yeah, and that's also what I plan on doing with all the Who's the Boss stuff too, is taking pictures of all those and putting them up onto a gallery on our site. Mm-hmm.
So with the board gaming weekend, was there any game that kind of stood out as the one everybody wanted to get their hands on? Or?
Well, there was a lot of games being played. I mean, I played a game of Viticulture, Colt Express, Sons of Anarchy, Castles of the Mad King Ludwig, and I can't think of the last game I played that Mark Josh brought that I played.
That was...
I can't think of the name of it. I have a picture of it on our Facebook page with the name of the game. It's a board is next to it. But people play Cthulhu Wars. Cthulhu Wars, a lot of people wanted to play, which was actually broad. It was nice. Normally when I bring a game, I have to teach the game, but there's not people who know to play, so I was able to just give my copy of Cthulhu Wars to the one guy who knew it, and he went off with other people and, you know, got to show a bunch of people how to play that game. You had Sentinels of the Multiverse going.
Yep.
There was a Predator legendary game going.
The Sentinels game that we had was the longest game that we've ever had.
That was one game? That was in two games?
That was only one game of Sentinels.
Because I played Viticulture, you guys played, oh, that's a long game of Sentinels.
Yes. Yeah. Sentinels is easy to check out of if they go out that long, so kudos to whoever stuck to it.
Nathan had some shorter games like Coup. He had that one game where you just wish you were dead when you played it. I can't think of the name of it. I don't like it. It's like I'm in the minority.
The werewolf hunter slash
werewolf hunter. You're like a shadow. It's most people like it. I think it's trash, but that's just me. I'm in the minority. It's okay. It's allowed. But he had some other games. So there's just tons of games going. And at any given time, we had enough people that we had four. And, oh, Jeremy brought Dungeon Lords. You showed that to mm-hmm. people.
God, I really want to play that game.
So, yeah.
Speaking of board games. This is actually a good segue as well. I know we're trying to talk about Board Game Day, but at War Machine Weekend, Crippled System is hosting the Board Game Room at War Machine Weekend. What do you mean maybe?
Maybe.
What do you...
What? War Machine, Crippled Systems, and I think Your Turn Go will also have some involvement.
Correct.
In the
board game. We were asked first.
Yes, we will be... They're trying to steal our thunder.
Yeah.
Sneak into our area.
Yeah.
Well, we don't know like logistics. Every year there's been board games going on at War Machine Weekend. We've been a big part of it just on the side. But there's also been other people playing board games.
Yep.
So this year they're going to have more space. And I think part of it is they want us to actually, we'll be manning the room there. And we might have during these hours, if you want to come play with people from Gribble System, we'll have this game from here to here. Obviously, these games really fit between 3 and 6, so it's not like you can handle the world, but we'll have a variety of things going on.
Well, that's cool.
I know Seppi is going to have some more game demos for his game company that he works for.
DC is going to be having some playtesting for his game.
And I have requested that the werewolf players that are drunk play out away from me.
Yeah.
Because people at War Machine Weekend love werewolf, and they like to drink. And that's fine. And you know what? Drink all you want. Play as much werewolf as you want. Just stay the fuck away from me when you're doing that. Well, the last couple of years, the board game room, you have enough room for 3 tables, so you barely have enough room. You got 3 groups going. Then suddenly in come 15 drunk people that don't need a table. They just stand in the corner playing werewolf, basically screaming their fucking heads off for 3 hours while drinking, playing werewolf, and you were trying to do something fun and productive in that room, and now you have just a gaggle of fucktards being super fucking loud and annoying.
that pretty much encapsulates the attitude of every werewolf player. Yeah.
Sums it up very nicely.
I mean, but if they enjoy your game, just be aware of your surroundings and go find somewhere else to do it that you don't... I mean... If you're having fun and you're ruining the fun of another 20 people, it's not a positive experience.
No, it's not. You can go be a drunk asshole.
Yeah, go have your fun. Go get your... Because, I've seen as many almost 20 people at War Machine playing War Machine, and they're obviously having fun. You know, they like to do it every year, and they should continue to do it, but just be aware of your surroundings if you're going to do it, and don't ruin other people's fun.
I think you said people playing War Machine. I'm like,
I don't know.
Yeah, you meant werewolf. Yeah,
werewolf. Well, no, yeah. Keep your War Machine away from me at War Machine Weekend as well.
Like I come to War Machine Weekend for War Machine.
Keep your War Machine and your werewolf away from me. I'm playing fucking board games.
We should get permission to. And this is for some reason what I thought of about werewolf players. But if they come into the board game room, we should have permission to shoot them with shuttlecocks from a t-shirt gun.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? They should give them their own room. Give werewolf its own little room area, that'd be cool too. Give them a whole room.
Yes, I agree with that entirely.
The corner out by the highway.
We could have a button that we could press on the wall, though. You ever see? I think it's Jackass 2.
Yeah,
with a giant explosion. The explosion out of the guy's mailbox.
Yeah. So,
yes. Have that right outside the door.
Well, another thing, too,
just
is...
Just make a play game of Wipeout before they can actually play a game.
Oh, my God.
If they had the rooms for
the best
it,
video ever.
It wouldn't be a bad idea to try and set up some, like, as the two booms in a room thing, because then that keeps them kind of very in their own area, and that thing seems to expand to massive levels of people. But
that game is actually a lot of fun when I played it at Gen Con.
I hear as much.
But we should have. Hopefully we'll talk to Carl about making.
And Katie will be there because she's excited for board games. Yeah, there'll be all sorts of board games. We'll be there. I mean, a couple of us will have very little time to anything else but board games. I mean, the board game room during the day is quieter, obviously, as the day goes on. People who are in events and they lose round one or two, they decide to kind of want to play board games as the day goes on. But there's a few people who are coming that'll be doing board games nonstop all day.
Yeah, I might try. If I go, I'm going to probably try to get into one Masters event because I completely piddled out of the one at Gen Con.
Well, the big thing there is, I mean, Masters, it's the qualifier just for the Invitational. It's the big thing you want to get into.
You can go play games with 200-some people.
Yeah, it'll be a really great time.
run the gambit.
Play some EE and Runes of War.
That's exactly. The problem is, I like to play painted stuff because it's just my own little hang-up, and it's all I have painted.
Well, there you go. Paint faster. Yeah, paint better.
I'm working on more. It. Let me play with my Glacier King.
You might be able to play it by War Machine Weekend.
Maybe, yeah. I couldn't help but notice you've got your shit water in the corner.
Yeah.
I listened to the last podcast, and I was like, I heard the cans crack open of the Blind Water Brew, and I was like, oh, they're so going to hate this stuff. It's so bad. It's not good.
I forgot you weren't here last week. Yeah.
No, it's all right. I listened to it. I was here in spirit, so.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they were brineless last week, weren't they?
I think I heard one sip taken out of each can, and they were just like, this is not good at all.
Yeah. When Dan drank all of his, I drank all mine, too. It's not very good. It's just... This is the second podcast in a row we're railing on Blind Water Brew. But it's not, I don't think it was made specifically for Privateer. I think it's just a recanned version of whatever the Ram makes for their brew.
Mm-hmm.
And they just picked whatever seemed close to it. Like, I know their Kador Red is like their special red ale, whatever it is down there.
Yeah, I would have, when I tried it, to me, I kind of had a different experience from what you guys had. I looked at it as... It tasted like a bad spotted cow to me, but I did
rotten.
I did have it. I had it from the tap there, and Amanda tried this Wild Argus something or other, and it tasted like peach and piss. So it was rough. The burger was good, but I just I had to point that out a little bit since I'm probably the biggest drunkard of the podcast. I won't touch that stuff.
Well, there you go. There you go.
I would consider myself being the second, but I don't drink nearly as much.
Yeah, I was talking to a friend the other night about, I ran into him while I was playing, two people were jerking off with War Machine because it didn't seem like they were really playing a game at that point, but...
Figured that would hurt.
It started...
A little bit.
It wasn't you, really, but maybe.
Was it me?
No, it wasn't. You were piloting a Trollblood army, and you let him run his warders to tie up some pirates, the Revenant crew... Not the Revenant crew, the ship crew of Atremitus or whatever, and you didn't tell him you should probably feat with Madrak because those warders will kill every single one of those fucking things. Because
I totally play trolls, and it was his third game.
It's his feat.
I don't fucking know. I was just like, here, this is how you charge a Colossal and Nightmare in the same turn,
and this is how you murder Krik's infantry with Madrak's feat.
He couldn't have got to the officer anyway, so what did it matter?
Come on.
Anyway.
Zappity.
Nobody. What? Nobody.
I don't think there was any post for it either.
Oh, I wasn't saying nobody posted. I was saying nobody's going to grumble it because I'm not done bitching.
Word.
Quick.
We've recorded for like 4 hours now. You have to move on.
Actually, we've only recorded for an hour.
I know, but it feels like forever.
Crusher will get every single one of those. You can daisy chain through those guys with Reach while these guys are searching for stuff. Like, Crusher is such a good feat for me.
It is. I'm not saying it's bad. It's only in one-inch move, though. You're making them do two-inch moves.
Oh, I thought it was
Overtakes just one-inch.
I guess that's why Reach matters, because he probably could have got to most all of them, especially if they would have charged in different
lanes. He couldn't have got to the officer, so what would have been the point?
He could have made it.
The officer was hiding, like, behind it.
Maybe that was after he moved the Kraken. I don't know.
All right. We do have some Zappity Grumbles.
Ooh. Zappity Grumble time. Woohoo!
This comes from Green. If you lived in the Iron Kingdoms, what would be your profession?
Iron Lish.
That's not really a profession.
It is.
That's a way of life.
Yeah.
It's a way of death.
Oh. I see what you did there. Straight out of the Shard Isles? Is that what we're doing here?
Yep, straight out of Shard Isles. I think I'd be a Fel'Caller. Sounds like fun. Either that or Borka. I won't be Borka. Shut up.
I feel like you'd be Borka's keg carrier.
No, I wouldn't be Borka's beer bitch. I'd be dead so fast because it would be gone. Just be like, yeah, somebody took it. Party foul.
I would probably be an alchemist. I like the alchemist. Because not only is Gorman DeWolf extremely overpowered in War Machine, his counterpart that's in the Undercity game, he is extremely powerful.
Gorman with no hat?
Oh, God. He just... is it Miles? I don't know. But anyway, he just absolutely destroys everyone.
Mm-hmm.
He can make two range attacks a turn, so he can throw his grenade and also throw knives at people.
That's pretty legit.
It is pretty legit.
I ran an Iron Kingdoms RPG session. It was real quick, diverge. But
Zappity, up too late, Grumble.
Son of a bitch. Anyways, Trollkin, Alchemist, Thief, that was somebody's character. And in order to try and get out of that, they blew themselves up.
There you go.
I thought he was hoping to make a tough check just so he could keep doing it.
It doesn't work so much like that. What are you feeling?
Fuck.
You know you would be a Bloodweaver.
Yeah.
A courtesan?
Mm-hmm. Is drinking the Warpwolf Elixir an option? Would that be a career?
Well, that would be that would be a life choice.
That's a life choice.
So like, what was your career before you became a Warpwolf?
A Bloodweaver.
Okay.
Yeah, the first male Bloodweaver.
Yeah, so good.
He'll be in her bunk.
Zaffity.
Grumble.
Chris asks, if I was drunk, how many of you would be my friends?
If someone was drunk?
Yeah.
Or if we were drunk.
If we were drunk?
No, if they were drunk.
Oh, if they were drunk? It really depends on the type of drunk you are. Like, if you're one of those people that you have to, like, control in the group so they don't go to, like, the red, mm-hmm. then I will probably just walk away from you and let you self-destruct. But if you're, like, the fun drunk who likes to hang around and then gets petered out later, perfect for me. If you're the quiet drunk, I fucking hate you because those people look like they're trying to murder someone.
Are you the drunk who says here, will give me money and then forget you gave me money? Because I like those drunks.
Those ones are nice.
They're the best drunk. Man, I lost my drinks. I spent my money on beer last night. Yeah, sure you did.
Yeah, you just... They buy you a drink and then you set it behind you and they're like, where's your drink? I like to drink with people. Go buy a drink. Here's $5. You're like, ooh, sweet. And just do that 10 times in a row.
Yeah.
Good night.
All right. Zebedee.
Grumble.
I should have been looking up the next part here.
Oh, the next part, the Facebooks.
Yeah, do you have the Facebooks?
I don't have the Facebook. That's Nathan's job.
Oh.
Is that way you and Nathan can like argue about who's doing which part for like the next 6 hours. I don't know who's doing that. Then you try to like stand off, or no one does anything.
No.
Yeah, so that's the best part.
One of the things that I did over the work week here is I finally got up to Crippled System number one. I have listened to the entire set of them.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was horrendous. I think one of my favorite parts of that was listening to Jeremy try to figure out if he normally reads Facebook first or normally reads Twitter first, because I have the empirical evidence that says there's no fucking system.
Holy fuck.
We got some on the...
Is it one big one or did they blow
no.
up?
No. It's David Brewerton.
Holy Christ.
May have posted one or two...
Well, good.
Zappity Grumble questions.
Good job, all right. David.
All right,
he's been holding them for like 4 weeks.
All right, we have to do this in actual Zappity Grumble status. And
this has to be in lightning round.
Super fast.
You want me to do them? Or?
You can. I don't want to do that many of them. Well, let's just do Dave. You know what?
I'm doing the first one.
All right, this is a non-David one, so we can take 2 seconds to think about this one.
This one. Are any of you going to the WTC?
Nope.
If not, are you guys planning on watching some of the streams?
Maybe.
Yeah. I'm interested in seeing the streams, considering they had the Kickstarter in that, or the GoFundMe to help improve the streams in that. I'm mm-hmm. curious to see what they'll put out.
I am intrigued by that. I mean, it's a lot of work they put through, and it's good stuff.
Another quick question: has any of you had any experience with playing Myth, the board game?
No.
I have.
You have?
Yes, I have. It's a lot like, it's a build your own, it's a dungeon game like Shadows of Brimstone or Warmer Quest, but it's more open world where it's almost like you can kind of design it ahead of time how you want. If you want to play, like, the scenario can be, we're going to play open world scenario and just, we'll just keep spawning things till we get bored. It's not like you go through a dungeon, you just kind of like spawn. It's a very weird, open-esque, it's not as popular by a lot of people. A lot of people don't like it because it's just weird. It's like it's almost being too free willy-nilly without it actually being something. I know. You know, that thing, I don't want to tangent on the willy-nilly thing, but it's another thing from the guy, the reviewer name was William Nilla.
Yes, anyway. I saw that too, yes.
But but anyway, that's why. But anyway, it's, yeah, it's if you like, I don't know, it's if you want to play a game that's more like go through a dungeon, I don't, it's, most people don't like it as much as the other options that exist.
It sounds like a dungeon crawl that you can actually plan your adventure around.
Kind of. Well, it's like you say, well, I want to play open world. So this, it's just, I've played, the little bit I played, just, it just felt weird. Like it just felt, and I don't mean weird bad. I didn't play it enough to know if it, like, long term would be fun. But I think they're redoing the rules even a little bit and stuff to it. So I don't know. But that's all I got.
Zavity. I'm just reading some of the
Zavity
grumble.
So now we're ready for the actual.
What would you do if you were the one survivor in a plane crash?
Lightning.
Cry.
All right, Zappity.
Grumble. What is your favorite 90s jam?
I Saw the Sign by Ace of Base.
Zappity.
No.
I Walked a Dinosaur.
Zombie. That's 80s.
I know. Is that, I think it's late 80s, is it? I don't know. No, Zappity.
Grumble.
Can I change it to Barbie Girl?
Grumble. If you woke up and had 2,000 unread emails, could only answer 300 of them, how would you choose which ones to answer? Which ones are most important?
I would answer all in Zappity Grumble fashion.
Grumble. Who would win in a fight between Spider-Man and Batman?
Batman?
Spider-Man.
No comment.
He's not involved. Spider-Man, Batman.
Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah, I thought you said Superman for some odd reason.
No.
Zavity.
That grumble.
What did you have for breakfast?
Sausage and eggs.
MGD.
Ritz crackers.
Laffy Taffy and Sprite.
Were your Ritz crackers mixed with eggs now?
No, I know. That's tempting, though.
It's already got the butter in it.
Yeah.
Zavity.
Grumble.
Describe the color yellow to somebody who's blind.
I just slap him in the face. That's yellow.
Grumble.
Yeah.
If you were asked to unload a 747 full of jelly beans, what would you do?
Tip it over.
Open the door.
Take off with the door open.
Oh, perfect.
Taste the rainbow.
70.
Grumble.
How many people flew out of Chicago last year?
A lot.
70.
Grumble.
What's your favorite Disney princess?
I'll say Elsa, just for funsies.
She's the most... I'm going to agree only because she's the most, like, not stereotypical.
Yeah, she's an independent woman.
Yeah.
That...
Don't need no man.
Nope. And she's the nickname of my Glacier King.
There you go.
She's not really God. Christ. She's not really a princess, but I like Lilo.
Technically, she's a queen.
It works. Yeah, she is a queen, I guess.
She'd be another one that wouldn't fall in the standard, you know, that's why she works.
Disney princess.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I like Wheel.
Yeah.
Zabity,
Grumble. No.
What is the most money you've ever drunkenly spent at McDonald's?
Drunkenly spent at McDonald's?
This is all you.
Yeah, this is your subject.
I did drive through. I was so shit-faced. This is a lightning round, but no, I was toasted.
Faster.
Yep, sorry. Friends had two drinks, five drinks. I had a case in 2 hours. I drove to McDonald's. I lived, Zabby, and spent like probably $50.
That dollar menu adds up.
It did. Well, the thing was, is it took me so long to figure it out. I had forgot what I had ordered previously, so I had to order it again, and I just got all this food, and I was like, son of a bitch. We were all fat. It was terrible.
Grumble. I was going to grumble that one.
On average, how many times a week do you hurt yourself trying to dance in the shower?
Zero.
Zero.
Once this past week.
Zavity.
Grumble.
Which of the most... Oh, no, that's... I just read that one. Oh, my God.
On a scale.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how intolerable do you find baby pictures on Facebook?
10, 11, 8, 50.
9.2.
8.6.
Zavity.
Grumble. How many bowls of cereal do you eat every single day. Why aren't you eating more?
I average zero.
Zero. Corn pops don't get, they don't magically manifest.
I'm too lazy to get cereal, but I would eat two bowls a day.
If you could.
If I could. Zappy. Who would you let punch you directly in the face?
Cancer boy.
Cancer boy.
Kids in the hall brain candy.
Oh, God. Oh. Cat in my head. Fuck.
I was born without a lung.
All right, Zappity.
Grumble.
How many days have you gone without showering? I don't know what my record is. Maybe three.
I think it means like right now. Not like two. He just knows you didn't shower. One.
My record's four.
I smelt that one.
You it was did. Bad. It was long weekend.
Zappity.
Grumble. How old were you when you realized Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny probably never actually knew another in real life?
What?
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 Unacceptable.
I was 39. Zappity.
Grumble.
Can you fit your whole fist in your mouth?
No.
No.
Not for lack of trying.
Questionable. Yeah.
Zappity.
Grumble. What's your favorite flavor of Skittle?
All of them.
Tangerine.
Grape.
I like the yellow ones.
Zappity.
You gotta settle it the usual way.
Grumble.
How many sandwiches have you eaten off the floor? I mean, that's like saying that the sandwich is on the floor as you eat it.
Is it on the floor, or did I pick it up off the floor? Because I've had a couple sandwiches that have touched the floor.
Yeah, did we?
But I don't just go down there and just maw
on the floor. Once it touches the floor, it can never leave the floor. You have to eat it there.
Zero in that scenario, but a couple the other way.
I think this is the David Hasselhoff eat off the floor.
McDonald's.
Could hit that low.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
I have not done such a thing. Pizza, maybe.
Zappity.
Grumble.
How many bottles of wine have you finished without ever actually pouring any of the wine into a glass?
Zero, because I have testicles.
Zappity.
Grumble. I hate wine. Who is your favorite Power Ranger?
Well, obviously, it's a Pink Ranger.
Pink.
I mean, it's...
The blue one was mine, but whatever. You glasses, I
glasses. Blue Ranger was the best Ranger.
All right, that explains a lot of your guys' car.
All right. Zappity.
Grumble.
What did you do the night Whitney Houston died?
Masturbated.
Laughed because of her interview. I don't do crack. Crack is cheap.
And then boom, OD 2 weeks later.
Zappity.
Grumble. How many donuts are you capable of eating in one sitting?
That's an embarrassing amount.
More than I think I'd like to admit.
Two is the most I could probably do.
Liar.
No, seriously. I eat the custard filled ones.
Not like donuts. I mean, like actual donuts. I could say probably if I had to, three, but two would be normally a limit.
Krispy Kreme.
I'd want to stay. Well, Krispy Kreme, 18.
Yeah, Krispy Kreme.
If they're hot, if I'm in a Krispy Kreme store, coming out of they'll come out of the oven until I literally am unconscious. Like, out of the oven, into my stomach, out of the oven, into my stomach.
Then that's a different story.
Because you buy a box of Krispy Kreme, you go to Krispy Kreme, you buy a dozen and go home, but you eat five of them that are coming off the rack. On the way home. Not even, you eat five on the way home, plus you eat the five off the rack that are literally out of the oven.
Yep. They have a deal going on right now where you can get a case of 2,400 for an event.
Yeah. So actual real donuts, mostly two, but Krispy Kreme, unlimited.
Agreed.
Until death.
Yeah, it actually also depends on how fresh they are, because I hate those like day-old donuts at Quick Trip or whatever.
Yeah.
Zappity.
Grumble.
What is your favorite Spice Girl?
Pink Ranger.
Ginger Spice.
Yeah, Ginger. Yeah.
Ginger.
Yeah.
I like the stuck-up Posh.
You like Posh?
Anyway.
Likes a woman with expensive tastes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or Zappity. David Beckham.
Yeah.
How violently do you have to fight the urge to scream when you hear the ice cream truck coming?
I don't have to scream.
Zero. I
don't
grew have up to in scream. A mostly white community that was middle class.
Yeah. Very much. Yeah. Same.
Zero. When now when I see ice cream trucks, I'm like, somebody's going to get raped. That's how those things come around.
Zappity.
There's like some sign that was at an ice cream place that I think that said something to the effect of, you scream, I scream, now it's awkward.
Or arousing.
If there's a whole box of Teddy Grahams in a room all by themselves, say I left them there and told you not to eat any of them until I got back, how long would it take you to disobey my wishes?
I never saw a box of Teddy Grahams. I don't know what happened to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cat knocked them over.
I have no idea. Yeah. You didn't leave anything in that room.
It was Zappity. Empty. Grumble.
How many Taylor Swift songs do you actually listen to every day?
Actually, zero.
I'd probably catch two a day because my commute's small, but she's all over the radio. I knew she was trouble when you walked in.
I'd say at least two or three. Can't resist some T-Swift.
Some Tay-Tay.
Mm-hmm. I've been in the car long enough for it. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Zebedee.
Grumble.
How long after you feel full do you keep eating for?
An hour.
The meal's not over when I'm full. It's over when I hate myself.
When the food in front of me is gone is when I'm done eating, whether the first bite made me full or not.
When the pain goes away is when I'm full.
Yeah. Oh,
crumble. So fat.
I'm so full of pain. Oh, my God. Do you agree that Harry Potter was a huge asshole and probably the least exciting character in the entire series? Like, he has spent 7 years terrorizing his friends with his own problems, you know. They had all his own shit going on. Here comes Harry fucking Potter just fucking shit up left and right. They had lives, too. They all had lives, Harry. It's not all about you.
He's only really annoying in the fifth book, but that's because he's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Which is really weird.
I don't think he's a little shit.
I don't even know what movie that one is. It's the fifth one. I know that.
Yeah, it's the fifth one. I like him more than Katniss, because than Hunger Games, I'll say that.
I guess in the books, Katniss is a real bitch because
her inner monologue is the worst thing in the world. You're like, man, I wish someone just would shoot her in the face whenever she has an inner thought. Zappity.
Grumble. How many people do you fall in love with every day?
Zero.
Ooh. Hatred is strong with this one. Zebedee.
Grumble.
How many friendships have you ruined because you refused to play a game of Monopoly mercifully?
Insert replace Monopoly with Cards Against Humanity and give you a good number.
Yeah.
Monopoly yeah. destroys families.
They don't even need to take it out of the box and I'll start bitching about it.
I need just you to follow me around at places when someone brings that game out. We can tag team them. Yeah. Zero. No one I know would want to play Monopoly anymore. Any people like that don't exist in my life anymore.
Yeah.
No, they don't.
They've been phased out.
Or they just decide to not talk to you anymore.
Yeah, I mean, whatever.
So on average, how many friendships?
It's been so many years, I can't remember those people. They're not important enough to remember.
I'd say I've probably destroyed 4 and potentially nipped 20 in the bud.
There you go. Save some time.
Yeah. Is that incredible? Okay, what is your favorite kind of cookie?
Chips Ahoy Chewy.
Double chocolate chip.
Go, Brian.
Chocolate chip? Just chocolate chip.
Chocolate chip? I like the macadamia white chocolate that I always get at Subway.
You skipped one, so you confused me.
I did?
Yeah, you skipped the what you do.
I'm catching them.
Picking and choosing.
Zappity, grumble.
Grumble.
What do you do when a baby just stares at you in public? Like there isn't... They're just, like, doesn't even blink, just maintains intense, aggressive eye contact with your dumb baby face. What do you do? What do you do in that situation?
I get very nervous and afraid. Like, I don't know what to do. I'm completely powerless.
I just glare back. Usually they cry when they see my face.
I try to make them smile in some way or another. I have no idea why. If there is a baby just staring at me, I do try to make them smile. I usually make a goofy face back at them.
I'll stare at them and pine for a moment and say, one day I'd like to have children, then realize it's too expensive.
Well, you could just have that one there.
I could just take it right there.
Yeah, just take it.
I mean, it's looking at me, of course. It's imprinting on me. That's what that is, right? Like chickens.
Yes. just like chickens. The best part is when you have babies, you can keep them in a coop.
Yep, exactly. On top of your roof.
Definitely.
Crumble. How long do you have to wait after finishing your first plate of food before getting a second plate of food? When you're finished with your first plate of food, you get another plate.
You just get more.
Exactly. Yeah. You don't let it settle.
As long as it takes for you to get to the second plate.
Yeah. Especially if you're at a buffet.
Yeah.
Because you cannot let there be any cool down time to say your stomach communicates to your brain, I'm full, because you pay a lot of money for that shit. Mm-hmm. So you better stuff it down there and just think of how your mother slapped you when you were a child in front of all your friends.
There's a lot of pain that I need to fill with buffet and meat on a stick.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Meat on a stick. Fuck, we're like this right now.
Yeah.
I go to the Ren Faire for meat on a stick. There are other things happen at a Ren Faire, but I'm like, where's the meat on a stick? Okay, now the day can begin or I can leave. But until I get that meat on a stick, fuck everything else with everything.
When you're at a buffet, how many trays of food do you start with?
I have been the two-plate person before.
Oh, you have?
I have been.
I'm still a one-plate person. I'll make 108 trips, but it's always one at a time.
Got to limit it to one.
unless it's at like our Mongolian Grill.
I take because one bowl. It's bowls, not plates. Completely different.
True.
The thing with those Mongolian grills is like you get this massive pile of stuff, and then they cook it, and it turns into like this little pile of stuff, and you're like, this was really.
Really it seemed more.
Yeah. What did you do with my food?
I watched you cook it, and you didn't throw any of it away. Where is it? Zavity.
Grumble.
What is the weirdest place you've ever unintentionally vomited?
Friend's yard. That's not very exciting, but...
Denny's parking lot.
driving up a hill at 65 miles an hour in a snowstorm. That was great. I had to roll down my window, and there was a redneck piece of shit tailgating me because he had a truck and I didn't. As soon as I started throwing up outside the window, that son of a bitch backed right off. That was so good. Oh man, great.
I don't know if I mentioned the story. I'll mention it some other time.
And this was unintentionally vomited because the next question is very important.
Oh,
I do not binge and purge on a regular basis.
Okay, so my unintentionally vomited was it was at a bar. It was with my good friend Chris. He was drinking very heavily, so was I. He passed out at the bar after he threw up. I didn't realize he threw up until I looked down and was wondering why he was passed out. And looked down, I saw a pile of vomit there. I immediately vomited there with my hand over my mouth. Then I started walking my way to the bathroom. I threw up on the way to the bathroom, onto the door of the bathroom, inside the bathroom, on the wall of the stall, into the toilet, and then around the toilet. And yeah,
that sounds like some exorcist level shit.
That was pretty awesome. A good part about that story is one of my friends was the bartender who had to clean it up.
That's rough. I think the other part of my story was the friend I was with. We were coming back from Magic Tournament.
We didn't have time for stories, Zappy Grumble.
It's just quick. It's just a little thingy. He had to turn the volume up on the radio all the way because when he heard me throwing up, it made him want to throw up.
Oh, yeah, it's a chain reaction. The smile. Yeah,
yeah, that's what happens.
It was like that scene from Stand By Me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's the pie-eating contest.
Can you imagine a clown car if people started throwing up? They'd all drown.
It'd be like a river of puke all in over
different
an
colors.
All right.
Yeah.
Zavity.
Grumble.
All right. The weirdest place you've intentionally vomited?
Intentionally vomited.
I have not intentionally vomited anywhere.
Nowhere weird.
Yeah, no.
No, it's not like I'm going to throw up. I'm going to do it here.
Yeah.
I wish I could throw up on someone, but I haven't been able to actually do it.
There are times I've wanted to vomit on a War Machine table.
Yeah.
Yes. I almost did that to Alex.
Yeah. But that wasn't intentional. That would have been an unintentional one, though.
Yeah.
After I screwed that game up, I wanted to.
Zappity.
How many seconds would it take you to eat this entire block of cheese?
Done.
Depends on the cheese.
Yeah, it's
really true.
Depends on the cheese.
Depends on the cheese, but probably done.
I can eat Colby like all day. I just don't care.
I wouldn't want Swiss
or anything stinky.
Yeah, no stinky cheese. No.
Swiss on something. Yeah,
Munster cheese though.
Colby's just so easy to eat. It's like the white bread cheese. So plain.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Colby. Munster.
Just inhale mozzarella.
Maybe sharp cheddar I could do too.
Mozzarella. Provolone.
Yeah, provolone.
Oh, jeez.
In a heartbeat.
I can't tell you the last time I bought a package of provolone cheese and I never put it on a sandwich. Yeah. I've always intended. I bought a loaf of bread with it and it never made it to a sandwich.
I can kill Bucky Badger sharp cheddar spread too pretty quickly, but that's a different state of
those
cheese.
Spreads are, yeah, it's a dangerous thing.
Yeah, it's
Zappity.
Grumble. Have you ever found an image of a biblical figure on a piece of toast?
I have not. Nope.
Nope. Nope.
Zappity.
I don't really look for them. I just eat toast.
Grumble.
How long does it take you to scroll through Facebook before giving up?
Never.
20 minutes.
I pay attention to what my friends post.
Well, I think he's referring to this goddamn long. You don't understand how that still left. Grumble.
Who do you hate the most? David Brewerton. Zappity.
Grumble.
Hats, your favorite thing to order from Olive Garden?
No.
Garden?
I've never eaten at an Olive Garden.
Don't worry.
Never have. It's like shitty Italian.
Yeah, basically.
Zappity.
Grumble.
Or city Italian. Grumble. How many times did it take for you to listen to a song that you love before you actually hate it instead?
Zero.
Zero. Because if I like the song, I'm going to keep on listening to it.
Exactly. 50. Play it until I hate it.
You play it until you hate it?
I will never hate it.
Are you the type of person that listens to the same song over and over and over and over and over?
Oh, you bet your ass. Oh, that's my favorite, and then I'll hate it.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I'm not going to get zappity.
Grumble.
Renegade.
Do you ever stop and to think about the number of butts in the world? Like, whoa, am I right?
Nope.
No, but I do think how, like, with the internet now, I've seen more butts in my lifetime than any of my ancestors combined. Just because of the internet, and it feels good.
Did they have pants back then, though?
That's true.
But, yeah. You know, they would see butts occasionally. Mm. But the sheer number of butts that you've seen has been more than...
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've seen Game of Thrones. I mean...
Zappity.
Zappity grumble. You ever start petting a really fluffy dog just to get overwhelmed by how fluffy the dog is?
I hate fucking animals so much. Context.
Phrasing.
I hate animals so much. I'm just gonna omit that modifier. That adjective is gone. It is not a verb.
You're not an animal person.
No, I will not.
I have seen a fluffy animal. I'm gone. Oh my God, this animal is too fluffy. I've been there.
Yeah, I have not been like the kid in Despicable Me.
Zappity.
Grumble. Finally, and this is the most important, so please pay attention. What do you think cats dream about?
Murdering people.
Being assholes. Yep.
Assholes. Fucking murder is a
big thing. Yep. Is there a emoticon for shit-eating grin?
Fuck you. You son of
a... Actually, there is, I think. There's I've seen, yeah.
I think we've, yeah, I listened to this podcast. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is, actually, I'll make it so... That's our title. Probably not, because I want it to actually be picked up by other people.
No, and the last one is...
what do you do when you have bought everything for your faction?
Team forces. We just had a discussion about the thing. You have everything in your faction, now you need all your team forces. Cause one of everything that's not counted as everything for your faction.
Exactly, team forces, and then if that's been filled up already... Then I go for the mercenaries for my factions or minions, and then you end up, if you're a War Machine player, you end up buying the entire faction. And if you're a Hordes player, you don't have to buy that many minions.
That's true.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, Zappity Grumbles, we won.
We won. We beat
him. We won. It was 25. Not do that again.
It was 48 by that guy. We had 50 total. 48 by him. That's it. That's your one time.
I was thinking at one point, maybe we should do a Zappity Grumble sode. And yeah. That's done now.
Yeah.
It's done.
Yeah, you sent me a text earlier. It's like, yeah, Zappity Grumbles. Are we doing them today? I'm like, yeah, we're doing them. And then that's when I sent out the text thinking like, oh, we won't get that many.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So recommendations?
Recommendations.
I have a recommendation. Mine is I've actually gotten to crack into Abyss, the board game, and I really enjoy it. It's a super fun game. It's like Asmodee makes it, and it's kind of like a deck building game, but it's more of a victory condition building game. And you just use you can use pearls to help purchase cards or lords, and then you can use the active player isn't the one who decides which resource they get. Everybody gets to bid on that resource, and then you get to get stuck with whatever's left, but you can kind of keep going until you're there. And it's just a really neat game. If you have a chance to look it up, it is very cool. It's got a neat underwater theme. And
yeah, I saw you play a drink. There's like the auction element. There's some hidden condition elements going on. Mm-hmm. And you're also fighting monsters, which isn't really doing much other than you fight and win.
But yeah, you get resources.
But yeah.
But it's a really neat game. I suggest if you're looking for an interesting game that takes a flip on deck building, because that can get kind of tedious.
Mm-hmm.
This game is a really good palate cleanser if you're getting tired of deck building games but want the same experience.
True.
All right. What is your recommendation?
I don't have one.
What?
I don't have one.
You always know it's a bad week when you have recommendations. It's like, man, I went a whole week and nothing was useful to recommend. I've had those weeks.
Nothing really inspired me this week. I think I've recommended this before, but I think people should watch Tyrant.
You mentioned it before.
Yeah.
There you go. Another re-recommendation for Tyrant.
Yeah, I like Tyrant.
Blow our minds, Ethan.
All right. Hey!
He's still going.
We're going in this circle. I'm sorry.
That's how it goes. Yeah, What?
Fine.
I watched today an Australian horror movie. Which, all the way, by the way, if you need to always watch Australian horror movies, I mentioned this in the past. They're all weird.
They're fucked up.
This one's called Wormwood. It came out in 2014.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, it's kind of like a action-paced, almost Mad Mask-esque, Mad, a little bit. It's just a ridiculous comet comes over the Earth. Everyone, except for one type of people who have a certain blood type, just turn into zombies. So you're just like, well, that's not okay. Good. And then there's like a couple of people are trying to survive, and it's just all crazy Australian characters. Sure. Just being Australian. I mean, I gotta admit, like in the beginning of the movie, like zombies break out, and the main character, the people who are living are like, they go immediately to like just kick ass three. They don't like hesitate, and like they don't get scared.
Oh, they might have humanity. We might be able to save them.
Yeah,
no, they're just like immediate knife to head.
Yeah, pretty much. It gets pretty crazy pretty fast. And then aside, you have this crazy fucking scientist doctor guy just doing all these experiments on people, and it's just crazy.
So he had all the lab equipment already set up, ready to go for this type of thing.
Well, and he keeps injecting this one person with all the zombie blood, and they kind of get like the zombie master ability where they can control zombies, and it just gets. I mean, it's an Australian thing, so I mean, a style, yeah. So it just all makes sense. But it's a very fast paced, kind of ridiculous, very violent zombie movie, and it's pretty good. It's just, I mean, it's more of an, it's not like a horror, like suspense. It's more, it's a zombie, more action than it is anything
so
else.
So would it fit into the same vein as like Undead?
Yeah, it's more like Undead.
Okay. Where it's more of kind of like a comedy horror-ish?
It's a little bit less, the movie Undead had slightly more comedy than this had. This was more just action and violence. I mean, literally, whatever, when a comet went through, literally no gasoline stopped working. Like you couldn't. Nothing could combust, so all the cars broke down. The only thing that could combust was the breath of a zombie. Like, zombies just breathe combustible things.
Yeah, like they breathe methanol.
They breathe, like, some kind of weird fume. So they were shoving, like, the one guys, they were, like, shoving, they were fueling their car with a zombie. They had tied a zombie down and had, like, a gas mask to the zombie's face and a tube to the car. I mean, it's ridiculous. But, I mean, they just run around and keep trying to grab zombies. But at night, the zombies didn't breathe the stuff. They inhaled it, so then they were more powerful. So then they're, like, at night, they were super zombies.
This doesn't make any sense.
It's Australian. Every Australian movie makes no sense, but they're just crazy. And they're usually pretty fun.
On top of that, also, I don't think we've actually ever recommended this, so I'll go ahead and recommend this. And if in the same vein as that is Undead and Wormwood, you said?
Wormwood.
Yep. Black Sheep.
Black Sheep. Well, that's New Zealand. Well, we mentioned that other movie that me and Nathan and I watched on Netflix. That's another New Zealand movie, like Home. It's like Homebound or like Lock at Home or something. It's a crazy New Zealand where this girl is like basically under house arrest for like some crime she did. She's not a bad person, but she's house arrest with her parents, and then she's like, the house is haunted and all this crazy shit happens. It's another crazy fucking Australian movie from like the last 2 years. That one's also very highly rated and very good.
I know the New Zealanders don't like us when we call them Aussies though too, but they're basically in the same area.
That's all the same. The horror movies, there's definitely a different style between an Australian horror. They're both crazy for different reasons.
Yeah.
They're all fucking crazy. It's just that's their baseline, but there's different elements.
I think there's an Australian map out there an American map out there where it was Australians trying to identify certain parts of America, and like half of it was Texas.
Yeah.
So I think it's forgivable.
Yeah. But if you are a horror fan and you've not watched a lot of Australian horror movies, just go on Netflix and search them down. And one way to tell is if you like horror movies and you go to Netflix, you're going to see a lot of movies. There's going to be like a lot of one star. Because there's 1,001 bad zombie movies on Netflix, or 1,001 bad vampire movies. You're going to come every so often, you're coming across like a 4-star or a 4 or 5-star horror movie. There's an 85% chance it's Australian. Because even if it's not good, it's just fun and ridiculous, and you're going to enjoy enough of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, Ethan. It's up to you.
Let's see. Probably Starship Troopers. I just binged watched all 4 movies this week, so I couldn't sleep.
Starship Troopers 2 requires a certain level of commitment.
I just went through it just to complete them.
Sometimes you got to complete a series.
Paul Verhoeven is probably one of my favorite directors of all time. I still hold a very, very high. I like Starship Troopers 1 a lot. It's it's a very good movie.
I love the movie.
Yes.
I've seen all 4 of them, and the quality difference is I think 2 has to be the worst of them.
Yeah.
Elements of 4 are actually pretty good. It just gets a little bit too preachy in the religious stuff, I think, personally.
And the fact it's animated is a little bit weird.
Am I thinking of 3? I guess I was thinking, because 3 is a preachy one with the religion. I guess I haven't seen the animated one.
Yeah, third one's the preachy one where they're all about religion.
Yeah,
and
bugs
are the new gods.
Yeah, I haven't seen the 4th one then. But I knew it existed. I forgot it was out.
It's just animated, and one guy's like of course, the Kung Fu Asian, and he starts martial artsing one of the bugs. So it's a little ridiculous, but still, it was good.
I'm intrigued by that. Does it follow more like the idea of like there's like one guy can kick out a bunch of bugs in because he can animate it better, or is it still like, you know, more like one, like for the style? Like the book is like one marine versus 1,000 bugs, or one marine versus like 10,000 bugs, where the movie was more like just infantry versus bugs, and there was no like special suit guys or whatever.
And there was a couple special suits. There was still like the special snowflakes who were like just mowing down bugs left and right, yeah. But then like that one little guy just gets murdered instantly.
I think those are called Space Marine captains.
Basically.
That was the thing I really liked about the movie, though. And I know it differs from the books, because the books are basically everybody sitting in giant power armor and, yeah, and such, and they're just laying waste to bugs.
I find the book to be extraordinarily boring and useless, but
yeah,
I'm in the minority of my friends on that one, too.
Yeah, if we had Jim on here, that would be a...
Yeah, Nathan and Jim would beat me to death, but I think the book is a waste of time.
Yeah, I just like... I like the loss of humanity in that movie.
Yeah.
So much of just people just dying.
It's fun throwing them to the meat grinder.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And the special effects of the bugs are pretty good. I mean, yeah, it's fun.
Yep. All right. We're actually only at hour 35.
Woot.
Yep.
We survived. We survived all the zappity grumbles. Take that.
Yeah. Don't world. Do it. No, don't do it again. Don't like make
we
it so
double
it's a challenge.
Dare you not to do it again. No one could possibly outdo the last person's number of zappity grumbles. You don't have the guts to do it.
I have a feeling Brian's like you're not baiting showing them up on. Next
week. Brian, you're not going to be here next week, are you?
I got to be out. I got a thing.
Fuck you.
Way to set up the zappity grumble storm pole right outside Andy's house.
Hey, the best part is when I don't even post it.
They'll find a way in.
People will force it and just be like, you have 50 new updates on your wall.
We should require them to be sent to us via mail. Like, you have to actually get a stamp and an envelope and mail us the Zappity Grumbles.
That would add a
level. That'd be kind of a fun contest. We actually have to go old school. But we'll give, like, your topics more attention. But you have to, like, literally mail us. It has to be handwritten in nice, legible cursive. So that eliminate everyone, because no one knows cursive anymore.
Yeah, it's out of the curriculum of schools now.
Yes.
It's such a sad...
So much of my... grade school, like me and the other friend, not having good enough cursive.
It was like I had really good penmanship until they said do it cursively. I'm like,
there. Now people can't even read it. Now it might as well be ancient script.
Yeah.
Yep. Sanskrit.
Oh.
All right. So that's right. That, motherfuckers.
Yep. That's it. That's the end of episode 125.
Ooh, yay! Thanks for letting me come on.
Yep. No problem.
Get out.
Yeah, now you can find somebody better to replace me next week.